Hello and welcome to the Start Creating podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you grow on social media, from YouTube to Instagram and so much more. I am your host, Alan Spicer, your YouTube certified expert. I have around about 12 years worth of experience in this industry, from web development to social media marketing and video editing in itself. This podcast will be about news, tips, tricks, and your submitted questions should you need any help within the social media space. So follow, subscribe, enjoy the ride, go out there, start creating. We are getting to the end of the year. Here we are, hurtling towards the end of 2019, and I always love to reflect on this time of year. Here I am, currently stood in my office, overlooking a wonderful view that is Huddersfield in West Yorkshire. I am blessed, truly blessed, in which from where I am, I can see all of town. I can see a beautiful view, and I can see, of course, the trees that no longer have their leaves. I love, over the course of the year, slowly watching the trees, like, bud back into life, get bushy, make me sneeze for a month and a half. Right, and then slowly go through their whole golden brown, yellow, and then just empty stage. I find it quite calm, quite soothing, quite like a reminder that you reset and you collect your thoughts. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast the last couple of weeks, you know that a couple of weeks ago I went for a stroll, and I went for a stroll around effectively my childhood. I went down to surprise my mum for her birthday, and after I did that, I went for a stroll for a couple of hours around a place that I used to live in. 2-3 hour long stroll, going to revisit my old house, my old family home, my old school, the old places that I used to hang around as a kid. And I realised that life changes and life progresses. Some things stay the same and some things move forward. And so I thought it was quite apt. Now, obviously, if you want to go back and get more of the back history of that, then feel free to skip back to a couple of podcasts ago. It's a trip down memory lane. Now, I'm going to do a trip down memory lane for this year, really. Here I am. I've passed 10,000 subscribers. I'm hurtling towards 11,000 subscribers. This time last year, I had 3,000 subscribers. I just want to take a moment to say thank you very much. There's been a lot of hard work. There's been a lot of videos. There's some videos that some people have never seen, and some videos that thousands of people have seen. And what I've truly loved is not necessarily the view counts or the subscriber count. It's the interaction. There's some people that have been watching my videos for a good couple of years. They'll comment on every one of my videos. They'll interact. Some people slip in and out. Some people are subscribed and never comment. Or they'll tweet me on Twitter every now and then. I truly appreciate everyone that's involved in my little community. It's something that I'm proud of. It's something that's grown and developed, and it's built a business behind it. And over the course of this year, it truly has flourished. A couple of years ago, I was really struggling for money when it came to Christmas. I mean, so much so that I had to take out yet another horrible credit card at a stupid percent interest rate because I was worried that my family might not get their presents from me. I had to find a few quid to scrape together to get on a mega bus, which is like a Greyhound bus if you're in America. Effectively, you sit on a bus for 6-7 hours, and because it's cheaper, you can sit there for £6 and you go to London. And then I'd commute from London back down to Kent and vice versa. That was the only way I could afford to go and see my family that Christmas. In fact, the last few Christmases before that, money had been terrible. Money had been tight. But something this year has sparked and done really well. All of my hard work of trying to build up a YouTube channel so people can understand who I am and understand that I know what I'm talking about. People reaching out and wanting to work with me. Web design clients, video editing clients. People that wanted me to consult them because they could see I can grow channels. Now, one thing that I want you to take away from this, if you're listening, is that even when you first start, even if you know exactly what you're talking about, people will doubt you. there I was putting out videos saying how to get 10,000 subscribers, how to get your first 1,000 subscribers, how to get views on YouTube. And those being seen by 10, 20 people. And I had 30, 40 subscribers. And people were leaving comments like, well, how can you be an expert if you've got... It's not about the info. It's about the intent, right? Some of the wisest people out there may never have earned a dollar in a certain industry, but they'll give you the best advice that you've ever heard. That's why I suggest that you listen more than you talk. And you help more than you take. I have over 400 videos on YouTube. And if I was to tell somebody right now that I've got 10,000 subscribers, their ears will perk up. And they will listen. If I was to tell someone right now that I've got 1.5 million views on YouTube on an educational site, they'd sit there and they'd ask questions. If I'd told them that I had one video, 20 views and 2 subscribers 3 years ago, I wouldn't have their attention. But I can help you grow YouTube channels. And I could still help you grow YouTube channels 3 years ago. I just didn't necessarily have the vanity metrics that caused that alertness. So as I reflect on the year of 2019, I challenge you to reflect on yourself. Have a look at the things that you know that you can do, things that you are happy to do, things that you love doing. Make a note now. It may have been hard. You may have done a lot of foundational work now. Right? 3 years ago, I didn't have the money to get onto that megabus. This year, I'm finally staying at home with my very young family, and Christmas is on me, and it's a very lovely feeling. I'm not throwing around thousands of pounds, don't get me wrong, but I'm not scrubbing together to find 6 quid to sit on a megabus to go and see my family. You know? I'm opening, I'm guesting, I'm feeding 11 people at Christmas. I'm making sure that people have got gifts. I'm making sure that people can arrive and stay and be fed and be watered. And I'm so proud that I've been able to get to that stage. And it's all because of the groundwork I did in for the first couple of years. This year started off so well. So many referrals, so many people. It unthawed through February and March, because it always does. Let's be honest, not many people spend money in December, January and February. And it flourished, it grew. And you can do the same. Plant your seeds, plant those green shoots today. They won't grow tomorrow. But if you give them 3, 6, 12 months, 2 years, you'll be amazed how high they can grow. 2019 has been hard for us all. 2020 as creators is going to be very interesting. We've had the whole copper situation, which for the last 2 years, YouTube has been angling YouTube towards kid-friendly content. You weren't allowed to swear. You weren't allowed to mention violence or blood, guts or gore or sex. You weren't allowed to mention your gender. You weren't allowed to mention your sexual orientation. And now all of a sudden, YouTube are in trouble because everybody's lent that way. So kid-friendly that coppers come after them because they're too kid-friendly. So we're going to see a very wild whiplash effect, in my opinion. I predict that 2020, 2021, that we'll see a lean towards gaming. We'll see a lean towards a slightly more mature audience on YouTube. We'll see the return of the vloggers. We'll see the return of maybe even swearing on a regular basis. Why? Because YouTubers are already trying to match what they've called edgier content to edgier adverts. Why? Because I honestly don't think Budweiser cares if you give a fuck on a live stream whilst you're shooting things that are digital aliens. Right? I don't think Coca-Cola minds if you drop an F-bomb if you're playing games or if you're having fun or if you're shouting or if you're screaming. Right? It doesn't hurt their brand. Not really. As long as their eyeballs are there, Coca-Cola and Unilever and all of these big brands, Procter & Gamble, they'll keep spending their money. YouTube just has to prove that the audience is there and the stock, that you can advertise against will be there. And in my case, my content's educational, so I'm always going to be safe. My content's evergreen, so I'm always going to be safe. I'm not going to be going out of the way to touch the far left and the far right of kid-friendly or extreme, right? But this does mean that they're going to recenter. They're going to reevaluate. The kid-friendly years are gone for now. 2020 and 2021, we will see a sway. We just hope that Logan Paul doesn't ruin it by going a little bit too far. My prediction is that we will see the return of normal monetization, a little bit more risky, a little bit risque, a little bit more adventurous on YouTube. They're going to hedge their bets by using their celebrities even more again. But YouTube will be back and YouTube will be more mature because the people that have been watching it for the last 10, 12 years are now in their early to mid 20s, maybe even 30. They are people like me. They are people like you. And you don't mind if I swear. They don't mind if they swear. And if you're creating content and everyone knows that, you know, you're shooting an alien on the computer, they know that it's not real. So I honestly feel that we're going to see a lean in that direction. It's going to be a reevaluation. It's going to be a different landscape, right? There'll be a few casualties along the way. There'll be some extreme removals of some people that are way too dangerous for kids. And there'll be the muting of the things that are slightly too, like, kind to kids. Because they'll have to mark them as made for kids, in which there's no comments, which means it'll get referred less and interacted with less, and engagement's going to be a problem for the YouTube algorithm, and some of those channels will die. You won't see so many unboxing videos or kids playing with toys anymore, because although they could serve adverts against them, they can't be guaranteed as a business that little Billy that likes Coca-Cola is going to see a McDonald's advert with a Coca-Cola drink and go and pester their mum and dad for it. That's what COPPA's for. COPPA's not here to shoot YouTubers in the face. It's here to supposedly stop advertisers shooting kids in the face. So, we'll see. This has been me reflecting on 2019 and predicting 2020. If you want my more deep dive in to this idea, there will be a video, if it's not out already, that's on YouTube of me looking back on 2019 and predicting a few more things in 2020. But from my wonderful office overlooking a load of dead trees, looking to Huddersfield, West Yorkshire, and my brain thinking, you know, it's time for everything to go to sleep for a couple of months before it wakes up in spring, I want to tell you, thank you very much for a wonderful 2019. Go out there. Start creating. Now, with the year coming to an end, I thought I'd do a little rewind, a catch-up, a recap, so to speak. It's a fairly long video that you can watch on YouTube, youtube.com/AlanSpicer, but maybe you'll want to listen to it a little bit better. So here is a kind of throwback Thursday to as little as last week on my YouTube channel, where I recap YouTube, all its drama, and give you my predictions for 2020. Let's take a trip down memory lane, a kind of YouTube rewind, so to speak. This year has been a complete cluster nightmare for most YouTube creators. It started off with the YouTube rewind of last year, which everyone equally panned. I mean, it was received as possibly the worst rewind ever because people didn't know who was in it, or if they did know who was in it, it was so very fleeting. There was much more time given to mainstream media attention celebrities like Will Smith than anybody else, really, and it was just seemed a whitewash. Nobody that actually had made mainstream media attention the previous year from YouTube communities were mentioned, and So everyone kind of panned it and said that YouTube was out of touch with the community, that is the creators, rather than the celebrities and the big business. In fact, there's been a lot of focus this year on celebrities. I think it's all come down to the fact that they thought that celebrities could be their safe haven. That's the place that they can latch onto and guarantee money in the long run. You know, bring eyes to the platform, legitimize the platform, when YouTube unfortunately seems to have forgotten at that point that their core heartbeat is the independent original creators like ourselves, like PewDiePie, like Liza Koshy, who's now gone on to have her own stuff on TV. This was something that was reflected in the trending tab this year. You saw a lot more of, you know, the Jimmy Fallon and the Jimmy Kimmel, the James Cordens, the John Olivers, that kind of thing on the main trending tabs. You had Will Smith come to YouTube. You had Jack Black come to YouTube. That was very highly publicized at the start of the year. I think that's because they was worried that, you know, they'd had the Logan Paul thing the year before. They want a fresh start. They want a clean slate. And here, look at all of these safe for media faces that we can trot out, but none of them was homegrown. Which seems to have been a front for the demonetization wave. Well, yes, we had yet another wave in early February, March this year. You know, one of many that you'll probably get used to. Now, this one was all about inappropriate comments on videos, creators uploading stuff that seemed perfectly normal, but the comment sections were toxic. We even had someone publicize this, that this was a problem. He went out and said, look, here's a normal video about girls doing gymnastics, and underneath there's a load of creepy little pedos highlighting, oh, that's where she inappropriate dresses. And, oh, if you click onto this video over here, you can see where she's doing the splits, or where you can see a weird angle. Some channels out there that was deliberately kind of pandering to that while still creating safe for work stuff. So we had a huge wave of demonetization. We had a huge, is this safe for kids kind of thing that later comes back to us along the line this year. This coming with the AI learning that we had, they started switching on and off the yellow buttons for some people. They was having concerns about LGBTQ content. They was worried about specific keywords in titles and descriptions. They were leaning on the fact that the algorithm is learning. So we had a rough start to 2019. This accelerated into early spring, summer, when we had the PewDiePie vs. T-Series kind of debates, where we had PewDiePie, who is the independent creator that has the most subscribers on this platform, versus T-Series, which seems to be a TV channel of some kind that puts a load of Bollywood movies and Bollywood songs and stuff like that on their channel, and they were running up against the PewDiePie train, which reinvigorated his lifeblood. Let's be honest, he was doing well. You could never say that PewDiePie is not doing well, right? And he was growing, but his growth was slowing. And then all of a sudden, he had this T-Series versus PewDiePie kind of thing, and it exploded, right? He had all of that debate around the whole, are they sub-botting? Is PewDiePie better? The whole community rallied around it, which I found quite heartwarming. You had the big boys coming out to support the other big boy, which is an independent creator. You had Markiplier, you had Logan Paul, you had everyone coming out to rally to lift the independent YouTube creator. Yes, he's possibly a multi-millionaire, right? But the point remained that the independent creators wanted to support the independent creator. It wasn't a mainstream media success pushing. It wasn't Jimmy Kimmel trying to push Jack Black to the top of the listing, for example. Around this time, after the whole controversy, we had one of Susan Wojcicki's letters, which was suggesting that this year they're going to lean heavily on education and kids' content because it's safer and it's easier for them to monetize and it's easier for them to understand what's within it. Little did they know that they was going to get slapped in the face 3, 4, 6 months later. But people were leaning into that. Me, myself, I started 2019 knowing that education and YouTube how-to tutorials would be my route to growth. I started 2019 with 3,000 subscribers. I'm going to finish 2019 with around about 11,000-12,000 subscribers. I leaned into the education and the growth, the help content, the how-to content, because I knew in the long run that those questions will never truly go out of fashion. They might age a little bit and some of the screenshots may need to be changed, right? But overall, my content is there to help you. You'll ask a question and it will be there forever and a day. And that was hinted at in Susan's letters, that they wanted to lean towards how to. They wanted to support more creators like SciShow and Crash Course. And other things that would educate, that you would come to YouTube on the understanding that YouTube is a place for answers and video topics that you could type in how to unblock a sink, or how to sort out your ears, or how to put on certain makeup, and YouTube would be your core focus. During this time, YouTube was checking out the YouTube Studio beta. Now, you've probably been struggling with this throughout the entire year, I have as well, but I created some tutorials to help you. So if at any point you have any issues with any of the tutorials, there's a playlist up here, it may be up in that corner, because I can never be sure which way to point on these kind of things. But the YouTube Studio moved us away, migrated us away from the classic that we've had for 10 odd years, and now it's starting to look fresher. It looks much more up to date. Yes, it's harder to get your head round after the classic, right? But if you fiddle around with it, even I got used to it, there are some features that I'd love to go back and they handle a bit better for my brain, right? But this is the death mail. Now, as we rattle into 2020, this will be the death of the YouTube Studio Legacy Classic mode, and we'll have to get used to the new Studio dashboard, which is no longer a beta. It's out of beta, it is now your default, or it will be very soon. And to round off the year, we got slapped in the face by this copper FTC YouTube kind of debate. Basically, in 2019, we were told, lean towards kid content, you will be fine. And by the end of the year, copper went, yeah, but if you are making kid content, you won't be able to advertise to them, you won't be able to control your audience, you won't be able to communicate with your audience, and it's all YouTube's fault. And YouTube went, it's not us, we don't make the stuff, they make the stuff. And then they almost figuratively threw the creators once again under the bus. So it started off in 2019 with them throwing us under the bus of celebrities on YouTube Rewind, and rewinding 2019's news, they're doing it again by throwing us under the bus as original content creators, saying, well, you know, all of that stuff that's on our website for the last 10, 15 years, you're going to have to classify it yourself, or we will classify it for you, and if we get it wrong, it's not our fault that they might fine you. I just love how much YouTube completely misses its own blind spot sometimes. So, what do I predict will be 2020? Well, sadly, I think we're going to roll into New Year. We're going to have yet another YouTube Video Rewind where it will be yet again very celebrity heavy. I don't think they're going to do a greatest hits. I don't think we're going to see Philip DeFranco and PewDiePie and Vsauce dude. I don't think it's going to be all of the big celebrities piled into one video from your favourite YouTube channel. Once again, I think it's going to be a glorification of all of the advertising money that they can get from HBO and people like that who are willing to put their celebrity forward. It will still be your Will Smith, it will still be your Jack Black and Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and James Corden. They'll have their favourite celebrity YouTubey people dotted in and out, but no one that's made a wave this year. I mean, I honestly can't think of a trend this year that really kicked off, right? Baby Shark, was that the start of the year? If you want to think of it, I think Baby Shark was the end of last year. There's nothing this year that I honestly think that they can rewind and make us nostalgic about. There's not really been a trend that we've jumped in on. And I think that's to the detriment of the community. The community hasn't really had a chance to be funny, friendly, and communicate and engage because everyone was battling with each other. Let's be honest, if YouTube Rewind was made this year, it'd all be about, are you monetized? Are you demonetized? Are you still demonetized? Are you monetized? Are you kid-friendly? Brilliant! Are you not kid-friendly? Creepy? Here, click this button, get 32,000, 42,000, 52,000 pound fine. I don't think that's a video they want to make. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will. Just spending their money. I think 2020 unfortunately means that we will get slapped with a load of demonetizations for kid-based channels. There may even be the odd casualty. We may start to see the odd channel get turned off or demonetized, and we will see that drama because we've only just received the warning shots now. We've only just been warned that the terms and conditions change December the 2nd going forward, and then the new stuff kicks in start of January and end of January. I just think the first 4 months of 2020 is going to be the crunch point. If you're a YouTube creator that creates content for kids, you need to diversify. If you're clearly creating content solely for kids, like you are teaching a child how to create slime, you might have some problems because you can't monetize the children, you can't monetize the audience, and you can't communicate with the parents. So maybe you might have to start a second channel alongside it, teaching the business that is what you are doing, or try and consider how to diversify. Or Copper, FTC, and YouTube will find some kind of middle ground, because there is supposed to be a rumoured, you know, best of both worlds, a mix of audience selection that isn't currently in the YouTube Copper selection. Maybe we'll see that come back and slap YouTube in the face. But I predict come March, April, we're going to be hearing about this again as channels start getting hit hard, as people start moving away or start needing to make money outside the YouTube ecosystem, and that might mean you or your favourite YouTuber. In 2020, I predict that we're going to lean towards more self-certification as well. They've been playing around with this for a while. Self-certification is where you, in your own video at the bottom, mark what is in your video. Is it animated violence? Is it computer game violence? Are you swearing? Are you not swearing? Is this video aimed at a specific audience? At this current moment, all of this is handled by an automated system. So it auto-flags that you might be talking about a lesbian relationship. And because I've now mentioned the L word, this video has been demonetized. The reason for that is the L word is quite heavily connected to an adult activity as well as an orientation of a relationship. Now, YouTube has never, up till now, needed to define the difference between the two, right? So if the L word came in the title, it kind of lent towards that, oh, hang on, this might be more adult activity than a life choice, and therefore the algorithm freaked out a little bit. You'd appeal, and it'd be sorted. But the mass algorithm changes made this incredibly hard last year when they had the huge wave of demonetization based on LGBTQ content. So I honestly think that self-certification will help this, that it's about a specific medical condition or a specific sexual preference or a specific life choice or a specific whatever. But this now does mean that you'd upload your own video and you'd have to tell YouTube what your video is about, and you'd have to be honest, because if you don't, that might get your channel struck. Or they'll roll this out to bigger channels. Because there's always a few features that are only for channels that are over 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 subscribers. For example, at some point, hopefully, I get YouTube story feature because I'm over 10,000 subscribers. And I can put up my own merchandise at 10,000 subscribers. These are locked behind specific tiers. Maybe self-certification will be locked behind specific 10k tiers, 100k tiers, because then that way it defends those bigger people who might be impacted more by false flag demonetization. Patreon. Now, this is an off YouTube platform that helps you possibly create a income from you and your audience base elsewhere. So say, for example, I was to say to you that if you donated to me £1 a month, I would do live streams once a month, and there was 100 of you that paid me at least £1 a month, then it'd be worth my while. Or if I'm a music artist, I could release music tracks to you, or rough cuts, or albums to you before anybody else. Most people do those on Patreon, or some people have started doing them on members and memberships down there. I don't have those yet. You have to have 30,000 or 35,000 or 40,000 subscribers, and even then it's a beta, or you have to be a gamer for it to be unlocked. Patreon's getting much stricter this year. In fact, in 2019 they were already flicking people off the platform for violations and not restoring them. Some, quite rightfully, in the case of, say, Inision, if you don't know who he is, you're very lucky. And in some cases, maybe not so right? In which some people randomly say things on streams or have personas from years ago and they get removed. But I predict in 2020 that Patreon's only going to get stricter, because they are becoming a core focus now. If YouTube is going to get hit by copper, could Patreon do the same? I mean, if you're focusing in on an audience and you're making money off of that audience, you never know. Things can always be scrutinised. I think 2020 will be the year of gamers versus vloggers, because we've had child-friendly content removed, or it will be very heavily scrutinised. I think gamers who have a different change in the terms and conditions as of December 2nd versus vloggers will be a much safer niche for people to play it. Back in the heyday of vloggers like Casey Neistat and Roman Atwood and Logan Paul, Jake Paul and people like that, that go out there and they'd vlog their life for 10, 15, 20 minutes a day, right, and they clip it all up and they put it out there. It used to get bored and stale, and then people started leaning towards more into selling people stuff. Gamers, on the flip side, had the worry that it's now digital violence, and they was worried that everything was being demonetized because guns and shooting and blah, blah. Under the new terms and conditions, there is a difference between real world violence and digital violence, gameplay violence, and that comes into effect December 2nd. So now, although you may be able to get graphic fatalities on things like Mortal Kombat, which might get age restricted, the violence in digital content might not be as restricted as it was previously, because now they are trying to make a clear decision between you punching me in the face or me punching some pixels in the face are two separate violent acts, and they will monetize them separately. This might be the opening that vloggers and gamers need to become this year's meta, this year's new thing that dominates the platform, because gaming, once again, can be very long form videos which give audience retention. Esports is leaning in and getting more and more popular, and vloggers, I feel, are due a comeback. It could be safe content. You've got a Casey Neistat and the people like that that can engage you for a long period of time, that can have lots of mid-roll pay adverts that have been taken away from the kids' channels. Anywhere that YouTube can put as many additional adverts in the middle, I feel that they'll lean that way. That's just my prediction. And, you know, you may see longer, ranting, waffly, brain-inducing content like from me to you for that reason, because I feel that it might help the algorithm. You may also see other people favouring longer form content because the conversation and the storytelling is there. Good example of that, once again, have a look at Gary Vee. He's always putting up long form content, and even my favourite spirit animal, Roberto Blake, recently has seemed to favour much more 10, 15, 20, 25 minute long videos, because you can listen to it, or you can watch it, or you can keep coming back to it, and it's favourable for watch time and advertised placements. In 2020, YouTube will continue to grow. Why? Because in 2019, once again, it was the most downloaded app in its entirety of 2019. That means that more and more people are consuming video, are used to watching video, making video, engaging through their phone, and this medium's only going to explode. We get faster internet connection every year, we get more people with more cameras, whether it's your smartphone, whether it's live streaming, we're becoming more and more connected. It does saturate this platform, but it also keeps us rolling and growing. So make sure that you're on board now, and make sure that you stick with it, because the wave will continue to rise, and with the bathwater comes up the duckies and everything else. TikTok and YouTube. Now, TikTok is growing. TikTok is growing very quickly, and YouTube is the old boy on the block that everybody's used to. I predict that either YouTube is going to start giving stories out to more people and adapting those stories to be a scrollable process, so therefore bringing TikTok to YouTube, or they will just roll out stories in general. That way everybody can have stories for their own channel. I think that will dilute its potential, because currently stories is in beta and it's only to large YouTube channels. But I think TikTok does bear YouTube a threat for a younger demographic. If YouTube can milk it and move them from TikTok onto YouTube, that's the next generation of creators. If young creators are already making content on their phone and getting used to making it on their phone, maybe YouTube wants to adapt that, and we will see the new wave of Viners that are TikTokers come to YouTube, just like Jake Paul and Logan Paul did. The only thing that could possibly kill TikTok is China and politics and things like that. I'd love to know what you think. I'd love to know what you thought of 2019 and your predictions for 2020. Thank you for watching the whole rambly video. If you're still here, click that like button and leave in the comment section down below your predictions for next year. Thank you for listening to the Start Creating podcast. If you want more tips, tricks and advice from Alan Spicer, that's me, then go to youtube.com/Alan Spicer and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. See you soon. Go out there, start creating.